Started yesterday introducing the idea of imagination. How imagination is a major tool that the Rambam and really all the Gedolei HaMusa, as we're going to go and we'll see, use in Avodas Hashem. In order for a person to deepen their emunah, we spoke about the idea of a person having a filter, and that everyone uses a filter for everything they relate to in this world. And the people aren't always aware that they are using a filter. And that's where friction takes place, that everyone thinks that they are seeing the true view of the world and the other person's view is not a true view. And the moment you see it, you recognize that everyone has different filters and you try and understand what filter they're using, how they're filtering the world, and that's why they interpret it the way they do. And that takes away all the friction because you just start to appreciate that their principle that they're using is a different filter than your filter. You can take away the fight. It's not about my way versus your way, it's about I recognize what filter you're viewing it through and therefore would make sense. I once had an interesting interaction with someone. They mentioned a certain topic, which is certainly not in line with Torah thought, and I started saying my view, which I guess was more in line with Torah thought, and then we started like discussing it back and forth, and I wouldn't say it was heated, but it definitely was different sides of an opinions on it. And it was getting more heated as time went on. So then I paused and I said, you know, I don't feel there's any fight between me and you on this matter. I just feel that I'm just saying over what the Torah's viewpoint is, and you're just saying over what the secular viewpoint is. They were someone not religious. And I said, and so really, like, this isn't a discussion between us so much. It's really like, I'm just, you know, as if we would do public debating, right? So I'm just, you know, presenting the view of the Torah viewpoint, and you're presenting the view of the secular viewpoint. So the topics, the details of the matter aren't really so important. Because you're just, I didn't use the word espousing, but you're just espousing all of the secular view, and I'm just espousing all the Torah view. The only real debate we're having here is who you should be aligning yourself with. Where I'm saying I'm aligning myself with Torah. And therefore, it's not that I necessarily think this is correct or not correct. It's that I think Torah is correct. That's really what I say. And therefore, I look to Torah to see what does Torah say. And that's why I came up with my idea. And you're looking towards what secular modern society, postmodernism, says about this particular topic. That's what you've created as your alignment, what you wish to align yourself with. And therefore you're looking towards what does postmodernism say about this topic, and you see that it says A and B and C. Right? And therefore you're just saying that. But it's not really between me and you. It's really just a question of who do you wish to align yourself with. And that it was much more real, I think, because then it resolved every other topic as well. We wouldn't have to have debate after debate, and we're arguing about everything. We're not arguing about everything. I'm just saying that I'm aligning myself with Torah. I don't even know what I believe necessarily fully. I'll look to Torah, I'll look to Das Torah, and try to get an understanding of what it is that I believe fully. I don't know what it is yet. I just want to be with Hashem. That's what I want to be. I want to be close to Hashem. And you're looking at whatever the passing trends of this modern society are to say what's in at this particular time. So, you know, your views might change in a couple of years when that becomes in and when that goes out and different things happen, but that's what you're aligning yourself with. That's the concept of the filter. Okay, back to the out of it. Harotzeh lechazek ulamik es emunaso. If a person really wishes to deepen his emunah, then the way he does it is through the power of imagery, developing your ability to use imagery. He quotes the Kuzari. The Kuzari, in the bit just before this, was having a debate. The book Kuzari is a debate between a Jew and a non-Jewish king about Jewish faith. And the non-Jewish king said to the Jew, who do you see to be a leader? Someone who's in control. And the Jewish king said, The non-Jewish king says, who do you see to be a chosid, a righteous individual? And the Jewish king starts describing a leader. Someone who's in control of all the people who are underneath him. And the non-Jewish king says to him, Melech Kuzar, says to him, the Jew, he says, I was asking you about a chosid. Why are you telling me about a leader? And he says, because a chosid is a leader. What is he a leader of? His inner faculties. All the different elements of his inner world, he doesn't act in a passive, victimized manner where wherever they take him, he goes, oh, what can I do? An inappropriate thought came to me. I'm helpless. Rather, he says, I'm in control here, and I can direct my inner world in the way that's going to benefit my Avodas Hashem. And then he starts talking about the imagination within that speech. And he says, the Chosid commands his imagination to bring out the glory of imagery, ones that will help him in his Avodas Hashem, and he uses his memory to do this through all different things that he's heard in the past. And he starts imagining things that will bring him close to Hashem that he wants. Maybe he imagines the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. And in his imagination, and this is something which I'm recommending everyone do prior to Shavuos, the Jews, you have the obligation to do on a daily basis. When it says that there are six things you should remember, right, in the back of the Sidurim, after the end of Davening, there are six things you should remember. So, and one of them is Mamad Har Sinai. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You should remember, what does it mean? What does it mean to remember Mamad Har Sinai? Does it mean that once a day you must read the Pasuk? Does it mean that once a year you must hear a Torah reading? What does it mean to remember? So, it means that you must live your life always according to the recognition that this is a truth. Let me give an example. And then what we're doing here is learning how to do that. Let me give an example. If someone was brought up with the recognition that they're from a family of Gedolim, they're from a family of people who learn Torah, people who do chesed with the community. When everyone hears their last name, they say, oh, it's a good family. You're people who give to the community and benefit other people, always think of others, learn and teach Torah. And they feel like, I have to live up to this name. Like, I have the desire. Just in brackets, by the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was born on Zayin Adar, which is the yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said that I always thought to myself, and that's why he's called Moshe. And he said, and I always thought to myself, if I was born on that day, I was called Moshe, then that's all I have to look up to and live up to. It's a high expectation. But it helped him. It pushed him, and he developed himself. Because like he had a recognition, this is who I am. Right? And if you're born to a people, to a Jewish nation, who are B'nai Malachim, and you see yourself in that light of I'm someone great, I'm part of the Jewish nation, I'm carrying the light of Hashem. So that's not something which once a year you remember. That's not something which once a day you say a posuk. That's something which you feel you're carrying the light. Whether it's of a family or whether it's of a nation, it's something which you feel, this is who you are, this is what you represent, this is your essence. So when it says you have to remember Mamad Har Sinai, it doesn't mean that once a day you have to remember that that happened. Rather it means you have to be leading your life with the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a connection with us, and He guides us, and He gives us instructions, and He's interacting with us, and that everything I'm doing in my life is in the context of that truth. That's what a zikaron is. I remember it constantly because I'm leading my life based on that principle. Whether or not I say the pasuk once a day after davening, but it's my whole life. How do you get to be on that place where you lead your life according to that principle? So if you've experienced something, or I'll say even better, if you're still experiencing something, then it's real for you. If you once upon a time experienced something, but you forgot about it, and it's not part of your current experience, you may not be living it right now. You remember, oh, I remember once I did that, it was a really good thing in the past, but it's not part of what I do now. But if you're currently experiencing something, this is what you're living with from day to day, then that's your world, that's your life. That's the banner you're holding. It's what you're in. The way that you have that with Mamad Har Sinai, for example, is that you constantly have the image. When I say constantly, I'm not saying from moment to moment, but you always have clear to you the imagery of Mamad Har Sinai as a real image, meaning that you flesh it out in your imagination, and you learn the Midrashim, and in your mind's eye, you think to yourself, maybe I was part of Sheva Yehuda. And where exactly was Sheva Yehuda standing? Well, we know they were standing all around the whole mountain. And you have to be a little creative here and fill in some gaps of things that aren't in the Midrashim. And sometimes you have to be a little bit machriya here, and you have to choose when there's different opinions in the Midrash which one you're going to go with, just to have a clear image. You know, you can't go with if it was that they stood all around Mount Sinai, then I was standing over here. But if they all stood to the east of Mount Sinai, then I was standing. You can't. You have to just pick one. It doesn't matter which one. Right? But you pick one that seems to you most, that it resounds the most. And then let's say you choose the imagery of you, the Am Yisrael standing all around Mount Har Sinai. And then you start looking around in your mind's eye. And you see Shevet Dan, and you see Shevet Zvulun. you see everyone, Zvulun and Yisachar, you're in Yehudah, right? So Yisachar and Yisachar and Zvulun, you see them standing all around you. And as far back as you look, people and people and people and people, you're like, it's endless, endless. And nearby you, you see your parents and your grandparents, and you see your child, and you see your cousins, because you're standing according to Mishpachotayhem. Right, and it depends which part you're up to in the story. And maybe there's a deadly silence, or maybe there's a big noise, or maybe there's an increasing noise in the shofar, and maybe you're seeing some plantation on the mountain, and you can get a rough idea of how high the mountain was, and you're looking up, and then you see clouds, and you see even thicker level of clouds, and then at some point, suddenly everything opens up, and you see like a sapphire light shining down, and you feel this like yearning to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He's revealing Himself to you. And then in your mind's eye, you hear, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and you feel a sense of gratitude to have come out of Mitzrayim, and to be chosen by Hashem, and to be His nation, and to feel the precious and love that He chose you, B'ni Bochori Yisrael. And now, you don't have to do that imagery every day. But when you've done that, everyone here has free time. When you're falling asleep at night, when you're going for a walk around outside, you have plenty of free time. And it's very healthy to have free time, which you're using to develop your imagery. And to choose imagery that you use, which is going to bring you close to Hashem. You can do it by saying psukim, and then as you say the psukim, you kind of keep saying the pasuk, and Yisrael Sander says, and as you say the pasuk more and more, just keep repeating the pasuk like almost like a mantra, and as you say the pasuk more and more, then you develop more and more imagery in your mind's eye, as you read Midrashim. That's what Leila Seder is. That's what the whole essence of Leila Seder is. The essence of Leila Seder is telling over the story of Mamad of Yetziat Mitzrayim, so the children have a live imagery that they can take with them for life, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them and did miracles for them to go out of Egypt. It's a big mistake that some people make, where all the droshas of Leila Seder are all about gematrias and resolving gematrias and things, but they don't just tell the story. The essence of the day is just telling the story. Just to have that imagery, as a clear imagery, that the child then develops an emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, and He chose me, and He took me out. And that's what the Chosid in the Kuzari commands his imagination. Either you control your imagination, or else your imagination is going to take control of you. Many people feel they're a victim when it comes to their imagination. They say, oh, I remember some movie I saw, and then they just allow that movie in their mind to develop and tell the whole, like they go through all different scenes in the movie. What can I do? That's the imagination passing through me. But a chosid is in control. He says, no, I'm not letting it go to waste here on some cartoons that I saw when I was 10 years old. I have imagery, it's a tool that Hashem gave me to use. You have speech. Right? Do you say, oh, I have to speak Lashon Hara? No, it's clear to you that you have the control of your speech. Not to say that now and then Lashon Hara won't pop up. Sometimes you'll have a big urge for Lashon Hara and you'll say it. Sometimes you won't even be thinking it, or you just find that it comes out. But you don't say, oh, it's not in my control. You say, oh, that was a mistake. I'll do tshuva on that, and I will continue to use my mouth for words of Torah and tefillah, and building words that will encourage other people, because my words are in my control. So is your imagination. Yes, it's true that now and then, and maybe often, imagery will come into your mind which is not building you. Okay, do tshuva and move on. But you can take control of your imagery, and you can choose to think and imagine thoughts that are going to build you in your Avodat Hashem. So says the Chosid. Things that are going to bring you to Inyana Elokia Mavokash. Matters which are godly that you're seeking. Another example is Akedah Zitzchok. Read the Midrashim, read the Psukim, and be there. Imagine what it's like. What Avraham Avinu is feeling, or Rivin always says, that when you read stories of Tanakh, you mustn't read it knowing what's happening in the end, even though you know. You must, in your imagination, push out all the knowledge you have of the rest of the story, push it out. And try and get into the feeling of the emotion of, in this case, Avraham Avinu, who's walking with his son. What was he feeling at that moment? I mean, don't be tainted by the fact it's all going to work out. Don't think that. Rather, be in the moment. What was Avraham Avinu? And if you can feel a sense of his mysterious nefesh that he was having to give his son, his only son, his beloved son, Yitzchak, and he was walking, what was he feeling then? And if you tap into the emotion that Avraham was feeling, and his dedication, and his willingness to sacrifice his son, his whole future, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you tap into that, that will give you the strength to sacrifice your own son. And when you want him to stay home, but it's time for him to go to yeshiva, you'll say, I'm like Avraham Avinu. I want him for myself, but he has to go learn. And you'll send him off. That's one example, which is an easy one, but there'll be many other sacrifices that you'll have to make for the sake of God. And if you've tapped into Avraham Avinu's willingness to sacrifice what's comfortable and precious and beloved to him for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll have, through your imagination, through the Torah, tapped into Hashem, to Abraham's will, his ability to do that. And here's another example. In this week, these week's parshas, the Mishkan, the Moshe Rabbeinu built. I always think it's an amazing thing when it says that Avraham, that they weren't able to build the Mishkan. This imagery always hits me very strongly when I read this, especially in the Rashi. The Rashi says that they were trying, they picked it up every day. And it wasn't standing. They took the Mishkan down again. And they picked it up on every day. It wasn't standing. And they picked it up. And then finally, Vayom HaShmini, finally, they picked it up. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayhi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Koraneo Maasei Elokeinu Koraneo. Please Hashem, let the pleasantness, Vayhi Noam Hashem, come down upon us. We've done our part. We've built it from this world, Hashem. And he looked up, I don't know if he looked up, this is my imagination going here, right? But you're allowed to use your imagination as long as it doesn't contradict anything else that you know. You're supposed to include, fill in the gaps. That's what your mind always does in imagination. You draw half a picture, it fills in the gaps to make the full picture. So I imagine Moshe Rabbeinu looking up and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done all we can. Let it be, Vayhi Noam Hashem, let it be your presence dwells down. And they see the fire. The fire came down to the Mizbeach. And they recognize that Kodesh Baruch Hu has accepted them. And especially in light of Chetah Egel, according to those Rishonim who say that the Mishkan was after Chetah Egel, right? It was like Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, I still love you and I still care for you, my presence will still be amongst you. And what were they feeling then? They were feeling our whole mission is now successful. We left Mitzrayim, we left the Tumah, we built ourselves and we accepted Torah. And Kodesh Baruch Hu said, and I'm with you. And the Shekhinah came down, that fire continued to burn throughout the Mizbeach, all the way through there, traveling the desert, all the way through the Bais Rishon. And it didn't make it to Dubai Sage. But that same fire that came down continued. I mean, you had that imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu picking it up and feeling disappointed and had to take it down for 7 days consecutively. And then finally, the Yom HaShmini, they're able to keep it going. You can sense this desire to come close to Hashem. This desire to build yourself to come to Hashem. And you can sense this desire of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've done all I can, Hashem. Now you inspire me, Hashem. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Pitchuri petach kechodesh amachat. I'm saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm opening up my part that I can open up. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, you open up for me like an ulam, that I can go much further. I'm asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for that. And you have the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan and doing that and saying that. And Kodesh Baruch Hu coming down. If you have those imageries in your mind clearly, and you develop them, the more you develop them, it taps you into an emotional connection with Hashem. And those imageries become prototypes for all the situations that you have ever in your life, which you can always bring back to Avodas Hashem. Because you have the Torah's message, you have God's word behind you. And you have our leaders. What does it mean to follow our avos? We follow our forefathers. What does that mean to follow our gedolim? What does it mean? It means that when you have clearly the imagery of who they were and what they represented, that they are the chariot, that they are the Masorah, that we follow them. What does it mean you follow them? You just need to follow. They said it and they did it, so we'll do it too. Like it as some external declaration? No. You tap into their emotion they had in the stories that you read. And so you feel that one of the ones, he doesn't mention him, but one of the ones that I feel very strongly, maybe we'll speak about it at a different opportunity, is David HaMelech. When David, if you read well the speech that David gives when he stands before Goliath, and you realize that the fight that they're having religiously, spiritually, that Goliath every day was coming down and he was cursing Hashem. And when David HaMelech came and he saw how everyone had just given up, and saying, what can we do, what can we do? And David was overwhelmed with the Ruach HaGevurah of Hashem. And he said, I'm not coming in my own name. I'm coming in the name of Hashem. And then he came and he fought God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen for him. Because if you're coming in God's name, then God's helping you. And you realize the Ruach HaGevurah that he had, where he felt he was almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was what? He was Hashem in this world. He was the Ruach of Hashem. And that spirit of wanting to do the will of Hashem, overcoming nature, overcoming something that looks like according to nature, you can't fight. But when you have God's spirit within you, you're able to overcome godly things because you're doing it for the sake of God. And you have this courage, this spiritual courage that you have to overcome evil and to force yourself to do good, which he then spent his whole life learning Torah. It wasn't like a one moment of valor and glory and heroism and he killed and then he went back and got drunk. David HaMelech then went to the yeshiva and learned Torah and became a god on the door throughout his life. Like it was a continuous gvura that he continued. And you have that imagery of David HaMelech throughout your life. And you can take that imagery to the Beis Medrash and think of that gvura that he had and push through and push through. Obviously, with balance, get enough sleep. But you hear the imagery? It's an amazing imagery. So these are the images that we can command our koah hamadamin, our force of imagery. Don't let it become that it's controlling you. Now and then it will take control, but you can take control back. It should be something which you're constantly working on. And as I said before, this is not something which, it's a halacha. Like you said the halacha, okay, now do halacha. This is something which is only in your inner world you can develop. It's not something you develop in a group. Maybe the Aleh Shor, through the Kuzari, gave some examples. Right? But it's not going to help unless you do it yourself. This is something which you have to read the psukim, read the midrashim. You know, as much as you've got so far, you can fill in the gaps in the meantime. Don't worry, you'll read more midrashim and you'll refine the picture as time goes on, that's fine. It doesn't have to be a perfect picture to begin with, it can be a very rough picture. And as time goes on, you refine it and refine it. And then you develop these pictures, you develop it, and you can even, like, as you really develop it, for each kind of message, you have a different imagery. And whenever you want Mesiras Nefesh, then you have the imagery of Avram Avinu. And whenever you want the feeling of closest to Hashem, you have the imagery of Mamad Har Sinai. And whenever you want the image of, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm putting it everything myself, I need to have the Shmaya now, you have the imagery of the Mishkan. And you have different topics, different themes, if you like, of different movies that you have in your mind, in your imagery, which when you need strength and a spiritual strength in a certain area, then you obviously go back to that Keder. When you're struggling with the Eitz HaHara, you obviously go back to Yaakov meeting Esau, and you've given it an imagery, and what the fight was there, the same fight that you're having now with the internet. And you're able to constantly go back to those imageries and say, in the same way as Yaakov was empowered against Esau, and this is the tool that he used. And he said to him, yeah, I'll meet you later. And I say, oh yeah, I'll meet you later. And you're able to push it aside for now and get involved in something holy. So I'm able, you have the imagery. If you've never experienced it, how can you do it? The ability that we have to do things is based on our having heard stories or having discovered that we ourselves have done things in the past. I say, oh, well, he could do it, I could do it too. Because I have a concept of it that already exists in my mind. The other way is fluke. You just lucked out and you didn't realize what you were doing, you did something. That sometimes happens as well. But then that becomes, oh, I can do that. Look, if I can do that, I can do it again. All the things that you know you can be successful at are things that you've either done before or you've seen someone else who you identify with having done. And then you say, oh, well, there's an imagery I have of that thing working, so I can do that as well. So you can create imagery. Don't wait to fluke out and like, oh, look at that, that happened, I can do that again. You can say, well, what should I do? And then create an image of you doing that. And then once you do that, you can do it again and again. I remember once years ago, I learned this concept, maybe here, and I went somewhere, and I wanted to try it out on one of my kids. So there was something that they were supposed to do, whatever it was. And they were young, they were probably like 6 or 7. So I said, there was once a boy. And then I just told the whole story of what he was supposed to do, without his name. With all the positive feedback that the boy got. He came back home, and he saw his room was a mess. And he said, oh, I can't find anything here. And suddenly he had an idea. I'm going to clean up my room, and then I'll be able to find wherever I want. And it wasn't easy, because he didn't know where everything went. But he put this here and that there, and he moved things around, and he found a place for everything. And then his mother walked in, and she said, look how clean your room is, such a pleasure to be here. And she gave him a hug and she gave him a kiss. And he felt so happy with himself that he chose by himself without anyone telling him to go and clean up his room. And it was amazing how he was able to walk around and play with the ball. My son walked in the home and he went to his room and he cleaned up the room. Now why did he do it? Because there was an imagery there. There was an image. And you know, he thought that he chose to do it himself. He didn't think that I'm doing it because my father told me to. His father never told him to. His father just planted an image. An image was planted. Now, he then chose, of his own volition, to use that image as an image that he wants to use to do a good thing, with the knowledge that he's going to get positive feedback from doing that. He never did it before, but he has the imagery. You can create imagery in the path that you wish to go. If you always respond in a bad way, in a way that you're not happy with, create a new image of how would you like to behave? What do you think a good response could be? And then just make a movie of it in your mind. And the more you imagine it, the more that it becomes a reality in your image, then when you're presented with that scenario in real life, you'll be able to say, I can do that. I've done it tens of times in my mind. I can do it in real life as well. It's a real thing that I know how to do. And then you'll find yourself doing those things. And that's how you build a movie. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me. I love Hashem. I can do mitzvahs. I can push through when things are hard. I've done it tens of times in my mind. I can do it now too. So you could use negative imagery. I'm a failure. I never do anything right. Everything was wrong to me. And then that will reinforce that. But like the Kuzari said, you can take control. And you can create positive imagery. And that will build you in the path of Kuzari.